Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Oh, from the other comments page we have working today, how hot is it? It's so hot, says Dwayne in Prospect Heights, that my hot sauce is just sauce now. And it's so hot, says Mike in Tampa, that the ice cream guy is now a VP candidate. And Paul in Manhattan writes, it's so hot that we had to take off our skin and sit around in our bones. Are you someone who uses instant messaging software in the workplace only to shamefully hide the chat window when your boss comes around? Well, you may have a good reason to be proud of your messaging habits. A new study from Ohio State University and the University of California at Irvine says that instant messaging can actually be less distracting than email or phone calls. Kelly Garrett is an assistant professor at the School of Communication at Ohio State. He co-authored the study. Kelly Garrett, welcome to WNYC. Hello from New York.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, by the way, how hot is it in Columbus today?
Oh, they're saying 95.
Tell me about the study. What did you look for and how did you conduct it?
Well, we were looking at a controversy over exactly how IM affects people's interruption levels at work. We wanted to understand whether people were because of the instantness of instant messaging being interrupted more often, or if, on the other hand, as some studies had suggested, they were being more strategic in their use, just trying to get information when they needed it, using it to check in with friends and family, using it to negotiate their availability, and this sort of thing. So we conducted a nationwide survey, a telephone survey, and talked to people about how they were, whether or not they used the technology, and found some information about their levels of interruption on a day-to-day basis. And what we found, mm-hmm, when we compared those two groups, the people who used instant messaging to the people who didn't, was that people who used instant messaging said that they were being interrupted less frequently than the people who didn't use instant messaging.
Less frequently. Now, that'll come as a surprise to some who would think, well, the IM just pops up on your screen, and so it's a constant interruption, you know, where you're at the mercy of the people who want to send you the IMs, as compared to email, where you choose to go to your inbox at all or not.
Well, it's certainly true that there is a conventional wisdom that IM puts you more in a more vulnerable position, but the evidence that we have here is that people are actually very clever in their use of this technology, because sure, messages come in, you don't get to say when they're coming in, and you don't even get to say, choose, for example, not to look at your email. You can't choose not to look at your IM. However, people can and do, in some circumstances, use IM to negotiate. So if someone sends a message over and says, hey, I've got a quick question, well, people can ignore it, and they can claim plausible deniability because perhaps they didn't see the IM message, or maybe, as you mentioned in the segue into this, the boss was walking by, and so the instant message window was hidden.
Yeah.
So people don't have to respond to every instant message.
Uh-huh. So there's an etiquette thing here.
There is.
Which it's is, if you get an email and you don't eventually respond, and that's another whole question, is how long, it's different from the old snail mail, right? But how long is too long to not respond to an email? But you kind of have to respond to it, even though a lot of people don't, you know, if it's from someone you know. And if it's an IM, you don't have that same imperative.
Well, it seems to be some flexibility. I mean, in some cases, it really depends on how people choose to use it. In some cases, yeah, you'll have a small group of coworkers who all are on IM with one another basically all the time. And if someone needs to get a question answered quickly, they just throw the question out there. And if their colleagues are in the middle of something, well, they won't get a response. But if one of those coworkers happens to see the message and knows the answer, then they get an instant response. So it can be an effective way of delivering answers right away.
What's the context of this study? People may be wondering, well, gosh, you know, you're a highly trained academic working to some degree on the dime of the taxpayers of the great state of Ohio. What makes this worthy of study? What's the social utility of what you've done here?
Well, the question of how technology makes its way into the workplace and what the consequences of that technology are is really a pressing one for our society, because we are companies, organizations are investing huge amounts in technology, and new technologies are always making it into the world. And so there's this question of what's going to happen when these technologies are deployed in the workplace? What are the positive opportunities that we have? What are the risks that we face? And so in this particular study, what we're trying to highlight are the opportunities that we currently have to use a technology that might have been written off as purely detrimental.
For those who think instant messaging is annoying, do you find that they use it anyway?
You know, I don't actually have data on that. Our survey didn't ask about whether people found it annoying or not. From the other research that I've read, it seems to me that it's a self-selected group. It's not the case that everyone uses instant messaging. In our survey, about a third of the people we talked to, and this is a random sample of full-time workers who use a computer during their work day, about a third of them were using instant messaging. So clearly there are a lot of people who are simply making the choice not to use the software.
We have about 5 minutes if people want to call up and talk about how you use instant messaging relative to email. Have you migrated to one? You know, this is the new generational split, right? The old generational split was do you use email or do you use snail mail? Now, if somebody uses just email, they're old, man. So 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. When do you use email and when do you use IM to communicate? Which is better for what? I know that some workplaces don't allow instant messaging. Is that true of your workplace and for better or worse? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. For Kelly Garrett, Assistant Professor at the School of Communication at Ohio State University, who co-authored a study finding, among other things, that instant messaging can actually be less distracting than email or phone calls. Professor, what do you think of the popularity of instant messaging with respect to what it says about the way we like to communicate?
Well, I think that it tells us something about the fact that people are very... people like to have flexibility. So email came along, and it provides a form of communication that's very similar to, as you say, snail mail, to a way of communicating that we're already accustomed to. And then instant messaging followed. It's similar to email in some ways. You know, you type in who you're trying to contact, and you type in your message. It's just a short message. And it has a sense of being a little less formal and providing a quicker response in some cases. I think it just speaks to the fact that there are different kinds of communication tools that make sense for different kinds of tasks.
Carlos in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carlos.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to note that I've often encountered situations where the instant message is actually used in conference calls, and that is it, let's say it's a sales call. I'm with a company, we're on the call with a potential customer, and then there's people who are IMing on our site to kind of synchronize messages as we're actually talking to the customer. It's a little distracting, but oftentimes it seems it kind of aligns people's messages to have kind of a harmonized, forward-facing front to the customer.
And more flexible for your, you know, behind-the-scenes communication than email?
Oh, in that context, yeah, because the conference call is happening in real time. So it's like if somebody's going down the wrong path in the discussion,
right.
I am real quickly like, could you stop that? Don't go there. And then all of a sudden, instantly, you know, that line of conversation stops. It's particularly useful in virtual organizations.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working in technology for a lot of years, and, you know, the virtual home office seems to be like the soup du jour in terms of the workplace, so nobody really sees each other on a day-to-day basis. And that's one of the tools that companies are using, particularly tech-savvy companies.
Thanks for your call. Jeff in Woodside, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I wanted to say that IMing is less of a committal form of communication. I don't know. It's instead of a phone call, and email is kind of instead of a letter now.
Kelly Garrett, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, the idea that there is a little less pressure with IM. The non-committal, I think what you're referring to maybe, is that people feel less pressure. You know, when you look at an email message, it's often crafted in a specific way, sort of the way you'd spend time thinking about writing a letter. When you look at instant messaging logs, you'll often see people don't worry about capitalization, they don't worry about spelling, they don't worry about being very clear about exactly what they're thinking. They're just getting an idea out there quickly.
And emails are on record now. So, like, I always refer back to my emails to my friends, but I can't do that on IM. Oh, sometimes with Gmail, with GChat. But less of a point of that.
Jeff, thank you. And Pat in New Jersey. Where in New Jersey, Pat?
I'm in Tawako,
Hi.
New Jersey.
Hi.
Hi. You know, I agree absolutely with what your guest says about the composition of the mails and all, because I find that I do a lot of I'm head of fundraising for a club that my son's in at the high school. So it's all teenagers. The only way I get answers to laying out, here, we need all these things, coolers, tables, tents, people, schedules, is if I text message them. But, of course, they're much too long, and I have to say, go look at your email, and you'll get all the information. I get no answers to any of my emails. But my text messaging to my family, my sons, my husband, a couple of friends and family, I get those back all the time. But as far as emailing the youth, they don't even look at it that much anymore. And I'm amazed at that.
Kelly?
Well, it's a very interesting observation. If I had to guess, I think perhaps it's the idea that instant messaging also has fewer social expectations. So if someone sends you a long email, you feel obliged to respond at length. But if someone just pops you a one-line instant message, perhaps that encourages you to take just a second to respond to them.
Now, I want to tell you that Rachel in Brooklyn contributed to our online discussion on this by writing, I think IM is a great mental break from work and far less distracting than listening to the radio and participating in discussions online.
Yeah, this is actually related to another finding in this paper. We were asking people about the levels of communication that they had with friends and family. And while the total frequency of communication didn't change, the total length of time they spent talking with friends and family didn't change, we did see that they had more frequent contact. So people were having short, quick, frequent contact with friends and family, very, very possibly using them, as your caller says, just as a way of taking a quick break or checking in with a family member.
Somebody else writes, I find that I can't get away from IM. There's a client built into Gmail, another built into my BlackBerry. It's inescapable. IM is simply too instant. So that's somebody else's take. And we're just about out of time, but Kelly Garrett, assistant professor at the School of Communication at Ohio State University, co-authored the study on IM. How many instant messages have you read or sent during this interview?
I haven't received a single one.
Just checking. Okay. Thanks a lot for joining us. We really appreciate it. And how hot is it? Writes 7-year-old Kevin Manuel from Brooklyn. It's so hot, my sweat is sweating. And if you want to see where the Con Ed outages are, we placed a link to the Con Ed interactive outage map on our webpage. Go to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show to check that out before you commute to one of those neighborhoods. Talk to you tomorrow. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay cool.